Welcome to Brainerd Tools. Our guidance on feedback on status reporting. Nothing is fine. Here we go. Folks, this guidance answers the question, is fine an appropriate status when you ask your directs for status? What should we do when directs say things are fine? And is it okay to want to know more? Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager. Okay, so as a manager, we always want to know how things are going, right? We always want to feel like things are going okay. We don't do the work ourselves, so other people know more about the work than we do. And we're going to have to ask them. And this is all in spite of project tracking reports, weekly meetings, Gantt charts, resource tabs. You know, you're still going to have to ask, hey, how are things going on Project X? And the most common answer in the world is fine, which is not really an answer, right?
Yeah, everybody's definition of fine is a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fairly cynical about it. I really think that managers not challenging it a little bit over the years, and particularly younger managers who don't know any better and think that fine is an okay answer, have allowed people to believe that you can throw up the fine shield, so to speak, and that's all you're going to have to let your boss know. But that doesn't make sense.
I learned pretty quickly, too, that I had a lot of directs who, when they said fine, to me, fine means green, right?
No, absolutely it does.
I would never say fine if something was not green. And I learned really quickly that when my directs say fine, that does not mean green. Sometimes it can be blazing on fire red and they'll still say fine.
Yeah, I assumed that right when I was first a manager that fine was green. I since learned that, and this doesn't, I'm sure people will hate me for saying this, I since learned that they knew that I assumed fine meant green when in fact they didn't intend to imply green. They knew I would draw that conclusion, but they didn't intend to imply that. And when you said, well, no, it wasn't fine. There were things that were red. You're behind on this. And he said, well, I didn't say I was green. I didn't say I was on track. I said I'm fine in the sense that I feel okay about where the work is.
Right.
And it's like, dude, really? If that's the case, you know a great deal more than me, a great deal more detail, which is okay, except that your answer then suggests that what I should tell my boss is things are fine. And if I get in the habit of telling my boss things are fine, and then you don't actually get things done and get them unmessed up, my boss is going to start saying, fine clearly doesn't mean fine because you keep telling me things are fine and then they turn out not so good. Okay, so here's our outline. The first thing I want to do is spend a few minutes talking about fine is not an acceptable answer. Regardless of what's intended or implied or inferred, fine is not a professional answer to the question of status or how things are going. And so what we do when we get an answer of fine is we ask for more details and we give feedback about the fact that the behavior they're engaging in is not effective. So fine's not acceptable. I think what's important about this for me, and I tell people this all the time, I rarely use the word unacceptable. I just don't. Because unacceptable means you will not accept it. But for a lot of people, when somebody does something and say, well, that's unacceptable, what are you going to do about it? Well, really, not a lot. Well, then you're accepting it. That's literally the definition of unacceptable is you will not accept it.
We hear that a lot at conferences when we talk about lateness and giving feedback about lateness. And a lot of managers will say, oh, that's just not acceptable to be late.
Yeah.
And I would say 80% of the time, the people who are talking about how it's so unacceptable were late to the conference that morning.
And what I find interesting about that is, well, I should know that people use words indiscriminately and incorrectly, but I mean, what do you mean by unacceptable? I mean, you allow it to happen. Do you realize how you undermine your authority, your sense of authority, and the respect of your directs by saying it's unacceptable and then doing nothing about it? Because we would also say hitting another employee in the face is unacceptable. But by the standard you've already set, you could overlook it.
Right.
And look, my point about ineffective and not acceptable is there are plenty of behaviors that are acceptable that we can tolerate, including lateness. I mean, clearly we tolerate it, but which aren't effective. And if they are ineffective, we can tolerate them while we work to improve them, to make them effective. We accept them for now. But fine isn't acceptable, and we oughtn't accept it. If we accept it, we're condoning it, right? The old saying that, I forget the Latin, but he who is silent consents.
I think, Mark, in a lot of ways, more experienced managers get this, right? Because, like I said, I learned pretty quickly, I think less than about 3 months into my first time managing people, that fine did not mean fine.
Right.
And so most managers, you know, get it. They've been hearing fine for years. And like me, in the beginning, they accepted it. Okay, that means everything's good. Everything's green. That's all I need to know, right? I just need to know everything's good. And they were being respectful of, hey, my direct knows more, has more details about this. And so if they're telling me it's fine, then they know more about it, and that's good with me.
Right.
But over time, we get more experience, and we realize that our desire for more detailed status is completely reasonable, if not more reasonable than the direct's interest in brevity.
In brevity. Here's my experience. I can remember very clearly. I could show you exactly where I was standing on the face of the earth, actually in Hawaii, as a young lieutenant in the Army. And I asked a sergeant about, hey, where are we in this, the prep plan we came up with for this field exercise? And he says, sir, we're fine. Well, like a day before, I was talking to another lieutenant, and his guys were 95% done, and he had a lot more experience than me. And our guys were about 50% done. And I realized when I looked into it a little bit more, there was no way we were going to be completely and totally professionally ready to do what we needed to do. So I talked to the sergeant, and I said, hey, you said we were fine, but clearly we're not. And so you need to tell me what status is. He said, sir, I promise you we're fine. And I said, okay, great. And now I want to learn from you. Explain to me what fine means. Tell me all the status. What do we got to do? Where are we on this? What are we on? What about the Jeep? What about the food? What about the ammo? All this stuff. And just me asking to pierce the shield of fine. And he says, what do you want? You want me to tell you everything? And I didn't know it at the time, but that was my first management experience with the stupidity, the frustration of false dichotomies. That I tried to give you nothing. My direct tried to give me nothing by saying it's fine. I asked for something more than that. And his response is, oh, you want me to give you everything?
Yeah.
No, I don't want everything. And of course, if you believe that fine is an appropriate answer, asking anything more than that is tantamount to knowing everything. Well, oh, you've insulted me, sir. I said, I'm fine. I'm good for it, and so on. Now, luckily, I was a young lieutenant that was told, you don't get what you expect. You get what you inspect. And so I started inspecting and discovered, no, it's really not done yet. My mistake, of course, was for probably a year later, because I was still a lieutenant, didn't really understand my role and whether I had good relationships and so on. I continued to accept fine and drop some balls because I was accepting something that essentially was unacceptable. And this goes back to, I think there are some people listening who probably haven't heard all 1,100 or 1,000, however many casts we have. From an organizational effectiveness standpoint, folks, work that has been done by somebody else, but they have not communicated that the work is done. If the work status is not known to be done by other people, in the world of organizational effectiveness, that work is not done.
Yeah, if nobody knows about it, it's yeah.
If they don't know about it, they can't leverage that work with the next task. They can't then do something else. Or the lack of knowledge about your work keeps them from doing something, which could then ultimately lead to the value chain that the organization exists to deliver within. So when people say, oh, it's fine, they're essentially denying the organization information which will help the organization do what it needs to do. So it's the individual asserting themselves over the organization's need, which is generally done.
And managers, you know, over time, again, learn that fine is not an acceptable answer. It's not enough of an answer. And they don't like it, right? I mean, yeah. they know that's not giving me what I need. But, you know, the direct says, oh, Project X is fine. And the manager says, great. So tell me more about that, right? What's the next deliverable? What's going on with this issue that we talked about last week? What concerns do you have? And rather than addressing the direct's behavior, which is saying fine, the manager kind of learns to just brush aside, essentially ignore it. I mean, I remember that. I remember my direct saying fine, and I would act as though they didn't say anything.
Right.
And just keep digging until I got the answer that I was wanting, rather than giving them my direct feedback, which is what I should have done, right, about their behavior. I just ignored it and found another way to get what I was looking for.
Yeah, which is inefficient, and you're missing out on teaching that direct.
Right.
The value of why we ask what we ask, what the intent is, and how they can be more effective. And look, you look at it from the other point of view. There are directs, and I'd say a lot of directs, who think that fine is totally acceptable. They would say, hey, look, I understand that you want to know. If I were in your shoes, I'd want to know too. But you should trust me. If I tell you something's fine, it means it's fine in my definition, whatever it is. Of course, organizations don't get paid for fine, or there's no status that is fine. There is no agreed upon precise definition of what fine is. So therefore, in the world of work status, which is a pretty precise thing, if it's done well, using an imprecise word like fine that other people wouldn't know what it means precisely is essentially misleading. It's not effective. And they would say, you should trust me that if something wasn't fine, I would tell you. So since I'm not telling you, that means everything's fine. And it's just ludicrous. It's like, that then implies, as a general rule, the absence of information means things are good. Well, exactly. Everyone laughs when they hear it that way. So, well, the first thing is the absence of information outside of the worker, whether it's one worker or 50 workers, the absence of information about what those workers are doing is not helpful to the organization, because the organization can't use the work if they don't know what the status of the work is. In addition, we all know when you laughed that, well, no, just because I don't know it, I don't assume it away. Because if that were the case, then we'd all just not talk. We'd all just assume everything was going to get done. We wouldn't check and so on. And when directs push back and say, well, don't you trust me? Look, let's be clear. We agree. A trusting relationship is a cornerstone of effectiveness. Manager tools wouldn't be famous for one-on-ones, which are designed to build trust, if we didn't think it was valuable. But just because that's true, it's incorrect to infer that asking for status is somehow not a trusting behavior. And you know, I've said it many times before on the cast, the effective manager's mindset would probably best be summed up by the Russian proverb, trust but verify. And so, of course, we do trust our directs even when we ask. And yet, at the same time, we can't simply tell our boss when she asks us for status, I trust my directs. That's not a status. Fine is not a status. So we have to have more detailed information that will satisfy other people who are further away from the data, and so therefore actually want more specifics to help them agree that your interpretation of the totality of the information involved is a legitimate conclusion. Now, if you don't know how important your boss's boss thinks this project is, and you're a little bit behind, but he has an enemy politically who thinks that as long as you his one behind on something, he's going to make a big deal out of it, you're going to say fine, and that sends the wrong message. It literally is bad communication, which then requires more communication. So sure, guys, trust is what effective managers rely on to assure that the work is being done, because they can't see the work and they can't make all the decisions. So I do trust you. I trust you to get the work done. But reporting is what the direct does to simplify their obligation to communicate to the manager around status, to help the manager address his or her responsibility to know the details of the work, since they're the ones ultimately responsible for it. I don't think I've ever done a really good job of connecting the trust and verification thing. Trust is what a manager, at least from one perspective, is what a manager feels or offers to a direct to allow the direct to do work without close supervision. I don't want to say micromanagement, but close supervision. And reporting is what the direct gives back, because the manager needs to know. The direct does need some freedom. Otherwise, we just have robots. So the manager gives trust and says, I trust that you'll do a reasonable job. I trust I don't need to watch you. And the direct's response to that as part of a relationship is, and I'm going to report to you in a way that's reasonable to you. Most directs would say, I don't need to be supervised precisely. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. I'm not going to look over your shoulder. I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and then watch you do it, and then correct you as you do it, because I don't have time for that, and I don't want you to think I don't trust you. I do trust you. I'll let you work on your own. And the way you pay me back for being able to work on your own, for being trusted, is give me the information I need to make decisions about all of my work and all of my responsibilities. So when a manager asks for a report, when they ask for status, it's not a question of trust. It's a question of the mutual economy, where I have money and I want bananas. I give somebody money and they give me bananas. We don't just exchange bananas. We don't just exchange money. One person gives trust, the other person gives status. And the more accurate your status is, by the way, the more your trust will build.
The more your trust, right. That two-way back and forth in this relationship, I think a lot of managers and directs forget about that.
They totally do.
I mean,
yeah.
I get questions about similar to that in conferences every week, where, you know, the directs will say, well, but, you know, I expect my manager to do X, Y, or Z. And I say, great. And in return, your manager would like you to do A, B, and C. Oh, well, no. Yeah. Like, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the first bit. Fine is unacceptable. The next thing is, okay, what do we do? And first thing is, as we've already said, don't be afraid to ask for more details. Fine isn't enough to satisfy an effective manager. If that's what you hear, put it in the back of your mind that that's not effective. And so I probably need to tell them that. But for now, it's okay to want to know more detail than fine. We don't have to trust that fine means everything is exactly where it's supposed to be. Because I think it's safe to say 100% of the time, marginally 100% of the time, fine absolutely does not mean that, right?
Absolutely.
It doesn't. Because if in fact 100% was done, they would say that. A direct would say, yes, everything has been done. We are green. We are ahead of schedule. They would tell you that. Fine literally says it's not as good as you want it to be, but I don't want to tell you what's wrong, and so you're going to have to ask for more. What's funny about that to me is I think every time a direct does it, and this is me being cynical, they're essentially telling the manager, you're not a professional. You're not an effective manager. I believe I can get away with this bluff, and I'm going to make you push me to give you what I know it's reasonable to give you. So
I think too, a lot of directs when they say fine, they know, to your point, that not everything is exactly where they want it to be. It's not all 100% green.
Yeah.
But in their mind, they have a plan. They know, like, right. Oh, it's going to be green in 4 days.
When I do
right?
X, Y, or, Z, yeah.
When
yeah.
I do, right. And I have that scheduled, or, you know, Joe is taking care of that, and I'm talking to him every day. And so they know in their minds, quote unquote, Joey air quotes, they know it's going to be green. And so they're saying fine to avoid having to say it's not green, but I have a plan for it, right? And of course, from the manager's perspective, I mean, if one of my directs says, you know, not green, but it will be green in 3 days, I think most managers would be pretty okay with that.
Sure. And then I might say, depending upon the credibility of the person I'm talking to, their experience, their effectiveness, their past history with deliverables and timing and so on, I'd say, okay, tell me what's not green and tell me what your plan is.
Right.
And then that way, if my boss finds out that something is not green, he says, hey, I noticed one of your tasks is not green. Yep. I talked to her. She said, it's not green for this and this reason. The plan is to do this and this and this in the next 3 days, and then it'll be green. And the boss will go, okay. And the boss says, okay, for two reasons. One, the boss learns that you know what he knows, because the higher level boss doesn't want to find out that he knows about something that's wrong before the manager of the
right.
person knows. And the second thing is, you have addressed the issue. If I'm the manager and you're my direct, you're my director, you're my boss, and I've got an individual contributor working for me, and you say to me, hey, got a problem, something's red. Yeah, I know. What's your plan? Don't have one. Dude, really? You knew about it and you're not doing anything? What am I paying you for? So, bottom line, what that means is, guys, if somebody says fine, it's not only okay to ask for more information, frankly, it's necessary for you to be good at your job.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not just okay because we don't just want to know. It's not just a desire for us to know. It's not a personal thing. We are professionally obligated to know. We need to know because we have a professional obligation. Now, a direct might say, who was doing a false dichotomy argument, oh, fine, I'll tell you everything. There are 6,500 tasks. Here's the status of every one of them. Obviously, that's ludicrous. And so therefore, clearly what we need is we need some communication technique that allows us to communicate both broadly and deeply and at the same time with a reasonable amount of brevity our interpretation of the level of performance on this particular, we'll call it a project. And that's why we have status reporting. That's why there are red, amber, green RAG reports. That's why we talk specifically and we allow managers to say, it's green or it's at risk. And often companies have very specific ways of talking about things. And it is not either fine or here's everything.
Somewhere in between.
Because neither one is useful.
Yeah.
Fine is not detailed enough and everything is impossible to communicate in a reasonably time efficient way. So what that means is when you hear fine, you ask for more. Right?
So should we give them some examples, Mark? What about that might sound like?
Go ahead. Yeah, give them some examples. You be the boss.
Okay.
I'll be the direct. You ask me for status however you want, and I'll respond with some version of fine, because there are versions. And then you come back with some suggestions that we would make.
All right, Mark. So how's Project X going?
Good. Fine. No problems.
Great. I'm so glad to hear it. Could you give me some more details, please?
Okay, good. All right, go again.
All right. Hey, Mark, what's going on with Project X? Where are we?
You know, good. Better.
Awesome. Great. So what's the status? Are we red? Are we green?
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. We're drilling. Guys, if you feel like you're drilling down, good. You're obligated to know this stuff. If you think your directs might push back a little bit, fine. Okay. They didn't tell us what we wanted. We have an obligation to know. Why wouldn't we push for more? Oh, well, I don't want to upset my directs. Well, you actually can't upset your directs. You can ask them to do their job and you can do your job. And if they get upset, well, how they feel is really their fault. And by the way, there's no way your direct is going to feel upset if she's done everything she's supposed to do.
Right. I was just going to say, every time that I have had a direct who pushed back on that or who didn't respond well, right, got defensive about me pushing for some details, every single time it was because they were not doing what they need to be done.
Right. That's why I say that fine, essentially, for an experienced manager implies there's a problem. Because if there were no problems, your direct would say, they would take full credit for the work they've been doing to be on top of things. And they say, we're green. Everything's on schedule. Nothing's behind. And if a direct says that, and there is an internal tracking website that they know we have access to, we could certainly check later in the day whether anything's amber or red. If somebody says to me things are green and I look at the thing and it's red, I'd be like, dude, seriously, you cannot do that. If I hadn't checked, I would have gone and told my boss. And if I tell my boss something is green and he's looking at things and thinks it's red, he has an ethical concern about me. You've just put me in an ethical bind. You can't do that. Okay, couple more. Go ahead, ask me for status.
Okay. Hey, Mark, where are we on Project X? What's going on?
Good. Yeah, totally.
Excellent. If you don't mind, can you tell me a little bit more about what that means?
Well, it means good, you know, kind of good. It's all good, boss. Trust all me. Trust me on this, boss.
I totally trust you, Mark. I totally trust you. And no offense, but I'm putting a deck together and I don't think I can put trust me or all good in my deck. So could you give me some more detail?
Yeah, good. Guys, it's our jobs as managers to know enough to ensure that work status is appropriate for the time and place and situation. Trusting is good. Trust is valuable. Trust speeds things up. It's great to have, and it's necessary to high performance. But trust is not knowing, and we're obligated to know. Okay, so our last bit of guidance is to give feedback, right?
Yeah, because fine isn't acceptable. So we're not going to accept it.
Yeah.
Meaning we're going to ask some follow-up questions and then we're going to give our directs who use fine or some variation thereof, we're going to give them some negative feedback to encourage them to change their behavior in the future. Right? It's not a big deal, right? They're not in trouble.
Right. Feedback is never a big deal.
Right. We're not worried about them or, you know, their performance. We're just asking them to change their behavior in the future, right? So next time we ask for status, we won't get fine. We'll get
what we want, which is a reasonable thing that we want because we're obligated to have what we want in order to do what we need to do. Yeah, I would encourage those of you perhaps are joining us and have not listened to our many, many, perhaps as many as 50 podcasts about feedback that you listen to the basics of feedback and the four-step model, which we're going to give you some examples of here. But when someone says, fine, we didn't get the information we need, it doesn't do any good. Well, it does a slight bit of good to hear the fine, and for the rest of the time that direct works for you, always have to then probe for more information, as Danny just did with the examples. Okay, that's fine. But it's better to say, wait, fine is not effective. I ask a question, I get an answer, and then I just simply have to ask the question differently to get the information I want to know. You imagine, this person's going to work for me for 10 years. They're going to have to talk to me about status every week. And so literally 500 to 1,000 times in the next 10 years, I have to ask a question, get an answer that doesn't do me any darn good, that actually creates a little bit of tension between us, and then ask a different question, which may actually increase the tension, in order to get what is absolutely reasonable for me to know. That's wasteful.
That's going to erode the relationship
exactly.
Over time.
Exactly. It totally erodes it. Yeah.
Your directs are going to come in to want their one-on-ones with you, and you're going to have that feeling of, I'm going to have to pull teeth. And that will come across in the relationship. I mean, your direct will pick up on that you're not super excited about your one-on-one with them.
Yeah. So we're doing two things here. We're going to get the information we need, but at the end, we're going to ask them to change their behavior going forward. Folks, if you haven't listened to the podcast about feedback, and there are many of them, as I mentioned, if you're just coming to us, the things you think you know about feedback are wrong. Okay? If you're thinking that feedback is a big conversation, you're wrong. If you think feedback is about talking to the direct about the mistake they made, you're wrong. The purpose of effective feedback is to either encourage more of the same behavior in the future because somebody did something good, or to change the behavior in the future. The commonality of both of those outcomes is a good or an effective future. The purpose of feedback is to talk about what we want in the future. It is not to punish somebody for their mistake. It is not to point out their mistake. Yes, we're going to mention that they engage in some behavior. We're not going to tell them it's a mistake. And then we're going to show them that the outcome that they get is probably not what they want. But the purpose of the feedback is really about the future. Mentioning what they did is incidental. We're not trying to revisit the past. We're not trying to punish. We're not trying to examine. We're not asking the direct to tell us why. In fact, there's a podcast called There Is No Why in Feedback. We don't care at some level why the direct did it wrong. In fact, I'll go even further than that. I actually do care, and I know the direct meant well. I care because they're a good person. They work for me. I trust them. Nobody goes around and makes mistakes on purpose. I certainly don't. I've made all kinds of mistakes this week, and I intended to do well and turned out poorly. So clearly, I didn't have any evil intentions, and you shouldn't go looking for evil intentions. Don't believe HR when they tell you that every conversation, when you talk about feedback, you need to give the direct opportunity to tell you why they did what they did. Because your job is not to analyze why they did it and then show them where they're wrong. Your job is to help them be right the next time. Now, you could have a separate conversation about how they might choose to do that, but your first obligation is to say to them, that wasn't effective, and would you please do new behavior in the future? And 92% of the time, managers who use the manager tools feedback model in the first instance of a mistake, get the right behavior or more effective, the appropriate effective behavior on the next time that the direct is in a similar situation. So you don't need 5 minutes because what you're going to see is we're going to do feedback and it's going to take 10 seconds maybe. So we're going to combine our feedback request with the request for more information. So let's do the same thing again, okay?
You want me to be the boss?
Yeah. I'll be the boss this time. It's totally cool. Fine. We'll switch. I'll be the boss. You be the direct. And we'll do both me asking about the status, you saying some version of fine, and then me following up with feedback.
Cool.
Okay. So, hey, how's Project X going?
Oh, you know, good. Really good.
Okay. Give me some details here. Tell me more than good.
Sure. So at a high level,
all right, stop
here's
there,
what's going on.
Right. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Good. Okay. Hey, thanks for that. And can I give some feedback real quick?
Absolutely.
When you tell me that a status is fine, it doesn't help me learn what I want to know. Can you do that differently in the future?
Absolutely, boss.
Okay, cool. All right, let's do another one.
Okay.
Hey, what's our status on budget planning?
Good, fine. Everything's great.
Okay, cool. What does that mean? Anything amber or red?
Well, you know, we have 2 red tests and 1 amber.
Okay, so we continue that conversation and get done. And then I say, great, totally appreciate it. Can I share something with you?
Okay.
When you give me fine for a status, when you say things are good, I'm always going to ask for more. Can you just skip the fine and get to the more?
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Cool. Thanks, dude. Hey, how's the new database work coming?
Fine.
Okay, does that mean we'll satisfy the requirements? Can you give me a status report here?
Yeah, sure. So we have sign-off from 90% of the customers. I will tell you that I'm a little worried about a few things.
Good. Could you go on? And I say, great, dude. Thanks. That's exactly what I needed. And is now a good time for some feedback?
Always.
Okay. When you tell me things are fine, doesn't tell me what I need to know to satisfy my boss and my reporting. Can you do that better going forward?
Sure thing.
Cool. Thanks. One more.
One more. Okay.
So where are we on the quarterly close?
Oh, fine. Great.
Okay, good. Does that mean we'll close on time? Help me out.
I say we have an 80% chance of closing on time.
Yeah, I got to take an aside here. I ask, you say fine, you know, and we're going to assume that you're not wanting to share more information. That's your, you're hoping that's a shield against further input. Mm-hmm. And it would be very easy for an inexperienced boss to say, okay, we're good to go. And then the direct says, when we probe, 80% chance of closing on time. And the manager goes, oh, and manager would immediately say, ooh, I would have assumed we were good.
Right.
And the direct now knows, oops, I just implied that we were good, but in fact, we're only 80% good, right? All right, picking back up, I said, okay, excellent. Is it okay to give you some quick feedback about that?
Of course.
So when you tell me things are fine, when you tell me things are good, it just wastes time because I'm going to ask again for more data. What can you do differently next time?
Not say fine. Yeah. Just give you more details right away.
Yeah. And by the way, for those of you, I get emails about this every once in a while. I use the word dude. Dude is not necessarily the most professional word, but it is a word that I use a lot. It is gender neutral. And it also, if you're a boss, that kind of wording takes some of the sting out of negative feedback, makes it come across more casual, more relaxed. And if you're new to us and you just heard the feedback model for the first time and you found it not confrontational and not negative and not implying some consequences, you're absolutely right. Because not negative, not formal, not confrontational, not consequential, all of those things still allow the model to work and you don't destroy the relationship and the trust you've been building up. You can instill fear in your directs by suggesting there will be consequences or saying you're wrong or being angry or being gruff or delivering with some negative energy, raising your voice or narrowing your eyes or sticking your chin out or crossing your arms and squaring your shoulders to the person. But we've tested those models and they don't work. The models that work the best is to treat another person like a professional, which they are, and to ask them to change their behavior in a polite way, even in a relaxed way, because like it or not, even though all of us say we'd love more negative feedback, most of us, when we get negative feedback, until we've had 20 or 30 instances of it, and we really begin to believe that our boss has our best interests at heart and is not punishing us, most of us get a little bit tense. Most of us get a little bit defensive. Anything you as a manager can do to reduce the sense of defensiveness is better.
Absolutely. I talk to people every week at conferences and I say to them, have you ever made a decision when you were anxious, stressed, or a little afraid? Yes, we all have, right? Yeah. And I say, are those the best decisions you've made in your life?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Okay, let's not do that to our directs. Let's not make them stressed and anxious and afraid because they got to go back to their desk as soon as you're done giving this feedback. And they're going to be making decisions 5 minutes from now.
And every decision will be in between moments of, what did he mean? How does he feel?
Yeah.
How much in trouble am I in? Yeah, not good. So in summary, folks, don't accept fine as a status. It's not a status. It's a defense mechanism. It's a shield. It's inappropriate. It's unacceptable. Ask for more data and then make sure when you're done to give negative feedback to ensure that you don't have to deal with fine in the future.
Cool.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks.
That's it, everybody. Come back next week. More good guidance about how to be an effective manager from Manager Tools.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.